On June 28th, 2023, the chief organizer of the Paris Olympics said that during the opening ceremony, Paris would be, and I quote, "the safest place in the world." And I make a lot of videos about safe places, so I had to send HAI's outside correspondent Amy to her laptop to research what it takes to secure an entire city for an event like this. Then I sent HAI's Olympic correspondent, me, straight to the source to see it all in person. I'm sure Amy doesn't mind. She's pretty chill. When Monsieur Olympics made his big claim, the plan was to have about 600,000 spectators at the opening ceremony, but in January 2024, they cut it down to 326,000 to make securing it easier. Also present? 90 boats worth of athletes with 35 security boats on the sidelines. Also, 45,000 cops and military, including 650 elite tactical units and snipers, all operating out of a military camp, the largest in Paris since World War II, which could get an officer to any Olympic venue in the city within 30 minutes. On the day of the ceremony, Paris was the center of an 80 nautical mile or 150 kilometer radius no-fly zone, over 15 times as wide as the no-fly zone over Disney World. If you made a pizza that size, it could feed over 2.5 billion people, which Domino's would charge you about $11 trillion for, but in fairness, they're probably a coupon. By the way, Amy wasn't answering my messages when I asked her to calculate that, so I had to do it myself. I just got this weird out-of-office reply. I'm sure it's nothing. Anyway, despite the no-fly zone, the skies were anything but empty. Surveillance planes and drones were on the lookout for airborne threats, while fighter jets, sniper copters, and equipment to jam and intercept drones were at the ready. On the ground, tourist sites, many of which are also hosting Olympic events, were blockaded with 12-foot or 4-meter or 10.25 pizza wooden fences. Starting a week before the ceremony, you need a special pass to be allowed to drive a car in this red zone. Passes reserved for police cars, emergency vehicles, taxis, official games-related cars, VIP cars, that kind of thing. They actually do have a list up, and worry not, purses are good. In here, the gray zone, almost no non-law enforcement or otherwise official vehicles are allowed, and every person who comes in needed to apply for a QR code they could show to get in. QR codes reserved for people who live or work in the gray zone, or with appointments or reservations in there, or other qualifiers. The day of the ceremonies, at 1 p.m., both zones got even more restricted, and the red zone got bigger. And no, you couldn't sneak into the gray zone on the metro. They shut down all these train stations. They also shut down all these bridges, making the optimal walking path from here to here this. And while security eased somewhat after the athletes got off their boats, it remained pretty tight because so many of these Olympics' 35 event sites are in the shadow of Paris' most popular places. BMX on the Champs-Élysées, fencing in the Grand Palais, beach volleyball under the Eiffel Tower, horse dancing at Versailles. And while temporary stadiums in iconic places are cool, they're harder to secure than a single purpose-built Olympic park way out of the city center like they had in London or Rio. Post-opening ceremonies, day-to-day police and military staffing dropped to 35,000 cops and cop-adjacents, plus 22,000 private security staff. And by cop-adjacents, I mean military patrols that walk around with big scary guns like the armed version of those packs of 17 chino-clad guys you see trawling in the general direction of a Chipotle at lunchtime. And no, they don't have the power to arrest you, but they are allowed to tackle and restrain anyone who they catch trying to blow up a horse dancer or something. Or a horse cop, which they also have. How do you think the horse cops feel about the horse dancers? Jealous? Maybe. And if you're thinking, wow, I didn't realize Paris had enough cops to staff 35,000 people a day, you're right. A lot of these cops were brought in from other parts of France, and 1,570 of them are coming from other countries entirely. The UK, Germany, Spain, and US all send cops, and the French government is letting the LAPD ones carry guns. And Qatar, along with sending people, sent a fleet of armored trucks. And that's just who's looking after the games in general. Team USA, for example, will have security and emergency support from the Diplomatic Security Service and representatives from tons of American defense and intelligence agencies. Not all the cops at the Paris Olympics are even people. Yep, they've got the Paw Patrol. Kidding. Because we live in scary sci-fi future times, there are RoboCop surveillance cameras all over Paris running somewhat controversial AI software. In 2023, with the Olympics in mind, France passed a law allowing themselves to trial AI video surveillance around the games. French law still prohibits using facial recognition on the public, but the law does allow the cameras to look for 8 so-called events. Beams, bars, vault, float... Wait, nope, wrong events. Here we go. Fires, people pulling weapons, vehicles going where they shouldn't, crowd surges, abnormally heavy crowds, objects left unattended, and a person on the ground. What's the eighth? I literally couldn't find it, so let's just guess... Flash Mob? When one of the cameras clocks an event at or above a preset severity level, it alerts a real human person who looks at the video and decides first whether they think anything happened, and if it did, whether to mount any kind of response. And this tech isn't having its first run at the Olympics. France actually tested it in early 2024 at a Depeche Mode concert, which is sort of like the Olympics of gloomy new romantic synthpop. But during the Sports Olympics, these cameras and this software is being deployed around the event venues and on public transportation. And oh, I think that's it. Hello! Wow, I didn't film that. Amy must be really good at finding some stock footage at home. Not everyone is exactly thrilled about Paris setting up a bunch of AI surveillance, even without facial recognition enabled. It's been said before in this book, yeah, we read books, that the Olympics and other massive global sporting events like the World Cup often serve as a kind of Trojan horse, a way for the host country's governments to justify, among other things, getting the public to fund and accept levels of surveillance and policing they otherwise wouldn't. Because if you tell people, hey, we're thinking of expanding police power so cops can crack down harder on offenses like loitering in a train station, and also adding license plate recognition to our CCTV, and buying cops this new toy to dispel crowds by playing a sound that causes, quote, head-splitting pain. Are you good with that? People would probably be like, I am not good with that. But if you propose all the same stuff, as London did ahead of the 2012 Olympics, and tell everyone that it's really important because the Olympics are coming and nobody wants a terrorist attack, people let it slide. But then the Olympics leave, and you know what doesn't? All that stuff we just bought for the police, and often, all those new powers we gave them. How much of this security are we actually down with? When they tell us Paris will be the safest place in the world, it sounds fabulous. But is it that fabulous that France ran about a million background checks, way more than the 100,000 they ran when they hosted the Rugby World Cup, and not just on Olympic volunteers and employees or athletes or journalists, but on regular old French citizens just because they live or work near where the Olympic ceremonies were held? Or what about the 155 people the government has declared, quote, very dangerous, whose movements are being limited, and who they're forcing to register with police daily, even though they don't all even have terrorism-related criminal convictions or charges? Again, safety, cool. Olympics, fun. Logistics, love it. But often, host cities and countries will use the fun of the Olympics and the obvious appeal of safety to push through some unsavory things. Like these guys. I hear they're undercover cops. Remember when I did all that amazing pizza math earlier? All that geometry, algebra, money math? I'll admit, I did not retain any of that when I learned it in school. And if you didn't either, but still want to remain fluent in numbers, you've got to check out this video's sponsor, Brilliant.org. They're my favorite and the best place to learn STEM subjects easily and on your own schedule. Their lessons are short, I'm talking 15 minutes or less, and super interactive and visual, making concepts that seem as impossible to grasp as multivariable calculus, well, possible to grasp. So whether you want to learn something new or brush up on something you used to know before summer brain, or no longer in school brain, or write YouTube videos for a living and mostly use math for jokes brain set in, Brilliant.org has your back. And right now, you can try everything they have to offer free for a full 30 days by visiting brilliant.org/HAI or clicking the link in the description. So go there, right now.